Welcome back to the Charlie Intel podcast. We're now in our fifth episode. I'm Mike Kent, co-founder and co-director at Deserto, joined by my regular host, Keshav Bhatt, who's obviously the man who's been behind Charlie Intel for the last 8 years. And in this episode, we have our first ever guest on the Charlie Intel podcast. It's none other than Drifter, famed Call of Duty content creator, and generally all-round nice guy, I believe. Drifter, obviously you're coming on the podcast hot on the heels of the Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War beta. It's been a pretty big weekend. So I know that you've kind of had some pretty divisive thoughts on the subject. So, I mean, I just want to ask straight off, I mean, what were your, I guess, at least first initial impressions of the game?
My initial impressions were very rough. I think that's what I titled the video I made.
Yeah.
I played a game and I had a bad game and I thought, okay, maybe I just haven't played on console in a while. Played again, it wasn't very fun, and I was like, maybe I'm bad or washed, or maybe I remember the alpha differently or something here. And about my third or fourth game, I was kind of staring at the screen going, did that really happen? I mean, okay, Call of Duty, I guess if you say that's how that gunfight went, then sure. And eventually, I started watching other people's streams and asking around, and I realized that I wasn't alone, that there was something pretty wrong with the beta, especially in terms of connections.
Yeah, I mean, I watched your video, and, you know, from my experience of playing, I just thought I was terrible and I was dying all the time, and that could have been potentially the reason. Now, we know that Dave Vonderhaar actually came out and said, oh, wait a minute, that shouldn't be happening. So have you had any other dialogue apart from that tweet that went back and forth?
Yes, I did talk to Foxhound FPS. He's the community manager for Treyarch, and I relayed some of my concerns and theories about the connection in private to him. I had a fan reach out to me, and I absolutely can't confirm this. It's literally a YouTube comment level of credibility here. But he said he pinged all the IPs and noticed that Call of Duty swapped over from Vulture servers to Amazon Cloud servers. And he said that a lot of ISPs have a policy of throttling Amazon Cloud servers because they don't want people like blowing up their networks with Prime Video and I don't know, whatever, all the things that they host. So if they swap to Amazon servers, there's a possibility that it's being kind of filtered on the ISP end or restricted and kind of choppy. It's getting like the lowest tier of priority. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what people are saying. But I talked to Foxhound about that. I relayed him some data from my NetDuma and my experience about the game. Foxhound doesn't give me secret intel or anything. It's more like he repackages it and sends it to the devs to take a look at.
Yeah, Keshav, I don't know if you've got any thoughts on the lag. Did you experience it at all in game? Was there anything you noticed?
Yeah, the first game I played, I was lagging everywhere and I didn't know what was happening because the alpha was quite smooth. It was a good experience. I don't think I dropped out of a single game in the entire alpha. But then in the beta, the first game I played, we get to like 2 minutes left of TDM and then it starts saying connection interrupted and all of us just start lagging the whole map. And I thought maybe this is just a one-off, you know, the host left, got another game and I'm still lagging. But I'm shooting a whole magazine at someone, he shoots me once and I'm dead. And it just kept happening every match where I was like, something is, you know, seriously wrong. And so I looked up in our mentions and everybody was saying the connection's off, something's changed with the connections. And I was like, yes, for sure. Like something is messed up here. And on that Amazon comment, that's really interesting that they would go to Amazon because they did sign a deal with Google earlier this year with that whole YouTube gaming for CDL. Mm-hmm. They announced as part of that deal, Google Cloud will be their official operator. So, you know, maybe they're slowly transitioning to Google and this transition phase is what we're experiencing in the beta, but
I mean, what if they did? Like, it's rough. What if they did and the ISPs are seeing it as YouTube traffic?
It could be that. It could be seen as YouTube and that's why it's, you know, shutting it down or making people lag because they don't want to take it enough bandwidth of that. But I mean, you know, Activision promoted how good Google Cloud is in that original press release with that whole partnership. But I mean, if the beta is on Google Cloud and then the launch is on Google Cloud and this is how we're going to experience the game, that's a bit worrisome. They got to do something there because like it wasn't fun, right? I mean, the alpha had some parts of it that made it fun, but like the beta lagging every other minute and, you know, not knowing why you died or not realizing that someone can shoot you and then before you even see them on your screen, that was quite frustrating. Even with, you know, the FOV slider we got now, even with that, like it felt like people were just coming out of nowhere and killing you before you even had a chance to react. So
I agree.
That's a big thing.
I agree 100%. That was my experience. I played the alpha and there were parts of the alpha that were rough. Like we as the community were complaining about animations and there were some goofy moments where like sometimes people would shoot you around corners. You have to deal with that in Call of Duty. But then once the beta hit, all of those little complaints about animations or this little bit of lighting or a chop sometimes went away compared to the lag that I experienced. Keshav, did you see people skipping around the map? Like my teammates would be running and then they would stop for about 3 or 4 frames and just freeze and skate and then keep going again.
Yeah, all the time. Every single time, like it would come up on my, I don't know if your screen had it too, but I would see connection interrupted occasionally on my screen. Then like it'll come back to the match, but then my teammates would still be lagging and then I would shoot an enemy, they'd lag too. It was like, it wasn't like one-off games. That happens in Call of Duty, right? You get that connection interrupted. Yeah. But this was like every other game. It kept happening where you would start running, but then you're not going anywhere. And you end up in like a different part of the map because you ran so much that the lag threw you over. So for me, I had a very rough experience on the first day of the beta. Friday, I played a little bit more in the evening. It wasn't as bad, but it was still that weird, you know, you shoot somebody, but they kill you before you even saw them in the first place.
Yes.
So I still experienced that throughout the weekend, but that connection interrupted thing stopped after like Friday, but man, the you know, not seeing somebody and getting killed was not fun.
How did you experience gunfights? I felt like I was fighting the auto-aim a lot of times. Like, I would start shooting, and I admit I'd been on PC for a while, so my stick aim's a little rough. But I would start shooting nice little control bursts, kind of keep the gun down. I'd miss a little bit. Other people, their head would, like, spin around like Linda Blair in The Exorcist, like, laser eyes lock on, shoot 4 shots in a row, full auto, perfect headshots across the map. And I'm like, there's something really weird here. And ultimately, I found that the auto-aim was perhaps not helpful at all. It kind of made me miss. And me and Elite Shot played with it and found out that the kind of the less you aim, like the less you fight it, the better it works. Did either of you experience anything like that?
Yeah, to be honest, I found that like some it was almost like half the time I'd absolutely beam someone. The other time I just wouldn't get a single shot. It was like if I got the first bullet on someone, I seemed to get the kill. But then if I missed the first couple of bullets, it was just over. Like I'd just get beamed back. And the time to kill is obviously a lot longer than it is in Modern Warfare. Mm-hmm. And I noticed, I don't know if I like it or not. I can't work it out. I can't work out if I want that long kind of that long fight. You know what I mean? It almost felt like fighting in Warzone where you've got the armor.
And I feel you on that.
Yeah, I wonder what Modern Warfare would have been like if it had armor in multiplayer. So it started to make me think that. But yeah, the time to kill, I thought it was. I felt like half the time I'm absolutely just shredding someone. The other half, I'm just not getting anywhere near the guys. So I am, admittedly, I'm obviously an awful gamer. I'm over 30, so it doesn't help. But at the same time, it's like it felt a little bit off, but then I kind of just put it down to being a beta, personally.
I mean, the connection, it's funny because as soon as the beta went live on Thursday, everybody, like the number one post on Reddit was Treyarch changed back the time to kill to alpha version. And I was looking at those posts and I'm like, okay, like for them to change that and then not mention it in their blog post seems very odd, right? I mean, time to kill is something this community cares about a lot. So for them not to talk about it as a change, I was like, I don't think it changed, right? That's why I was looking up online and started asking some devs. I was like, did it actually change? No one was commenting. And then we got that exclusive Ace video and other videos. 2 people said, there's nothing changed. It's just the connection. The connection, something's wrong with the actual connection, how you're, you know, the lag that you're experiencing compared to another player. And I was like, that kind of makes sense because the alpha felt nice. And the time to kill, I think, is it's Treyarch time to kill, right? It feels many ways. Yeah. It's classic Treyarch numbers. But when it comes down to like the beta felt like it was not only like Treyarch numbers, it was just all over the place for every gun. There was some level of consistency in the alpha, but the beta, there was no consistent value for every weapon you played with.
I 100% agree. You might as well, we just change clothes and you can speak my parts for me because that's exactly how I felt.
Yeah, it was just so weird.
No, yeah, when it came to the alpha and the beta, so aside from the lag and the connection issues, did you notice anything noticeably different? I personally I didn't really see a huge graphical change. I don't know if it's maybe the monitor I'm playing on or what, but it didn't like wow me suddenly compared to the alpha. I don't know about you guys.
So I did notice a change. Keshav, I'll let you go first, though. I see you've got something to say.
I just want to say the cartel map, I can't see anybody in those the bushes. Like, people can just walk in there, and it felt like Miami map in the alpha where it was so dark you couldn't see anybody. But in cartel, like the lighting is fine, but people can just hide in those bushes everywhere and you didn't see them. Like it was just go
prone in
there.
Did you use the flashlight?
The flashlight was on the default class, right?
Yeah. Did you sweep the bushes? I didn't get a chance to do it, but supposedly it's supposed to highlight people.
I did not see that on my end. So
okay.
Yeah, but that Cartel, like, everybody was excited for a new map, but then just to see Cartel and how that scenery was actually that bad. I think the funniest memes that came out was saying Treyarch needs to call in a lawnmower and, like, have him just, you know, go through that whole map. Yeah.
I think the first game I had, it loaded up on that. And then all I heard, I normally mute everybody, but all I heard was, not this fucking map. So I was like, I'm in for a treat then. Needless to say, it was my favorite.
If we're talking graphics, I did notice some changes. I would say, firstly, that I think the resolution may have been higher. I have a suspicion that the alpha was probably down, upscaling a little bit from 900p, or it might have had a dynamic resolution. This one seemed, no scientific testing, just visuals only, like it was more consistently 1080p, which was nice, though I did get more frame drops than the alpha, so there was probably a trade-off there. And with the field of view slider, that changes everything in your perception of resolution quite a bit. And I've heard wildly inconsistent reports from fans that certain FOV settings can cause frame drops or improvements. Typically speaking, the higher it goes, the worse it gets, because the game has to render more. That's just a very, like, casual, experiential kind of feedback.
Yeah.
And I do think that some people complained about enemy visibility being worse. Like, for some reason, the character models didn't pop very well at long ranges. And I think part of that is because console gamers have been playing at either 65 to 80 FOV for, like, the last 10 years. They've never actually had a chance to crank it up to 100 plus, and they don't realize it's making everything smaller and harder to see. So when I'm playing at home on 1440p or 4K PC or something, when you change that, it doesn't really matter. Everything's still very clear. But at 1080p, you have a lot less space to work with. So that could be causing the problem. And something we mentioned before recording is the little the blur around the iron sights. This is something I didn't notice until almost the end. But there's a setting for, what was it called? Realistic focus, I think is what they called it. So that when you aim down your gun, it's supposed to kind of shift a couple of the focuses, make it kind of look like you're squinting and ready to shoot. But what it actually did was just add a blurry layer over the iron sights. So in certain lighting and settings, when you aim down sights, your sights blur a little bit, like adding a 5% Gaussian blur in After Effects or something. And that makes it way harder to track enemies if you're using iron sights.
Yeah, I was going to talk about the FOV. So it's obviously something that only really came to light for a lot of people because of crossplay on Warzone. And especially when you're in the gulag, people are like, this is what you see on PC, this is what you see on console. And I feel like that's the only reason they kind of forced it into this game, because nobody's ever mentioned it in the history of Call of Duty about field of view, or not really.
Yeah, they have.
No,
yeah.
But not on a mass scale compared to because you were going up PC against console, so it never really mattered, because obviously you don't ever see what the other person would see. Mm-hmm. So now it changed. It's coming in. You know, are you for or against it on console? If it can upscale, great. But I heard people that were trying to play it on the, not on a PS4 Pro, but just on a PS4. I heard they were struggling. PS4 Pro, I found it to be fine, to be honest. I didn't notice any noticeable drops. But again, maybe I just didn't play enough. I also didn't get as many connection issues as you guys. So I don't know if maybe it was different because it was European service, but I did get that kind of difference with the time scale. So I don't know. I didn't get any connection out, for example.
I mean, for the FOV slider, I think, you know, as you mentioned, people have been wanting that because of Warzone. I mean, I've seen it in the past too with Black Ops 4 and previous games that esports fans have been asking for FOV sliders too, just because they want to have a better experience while playing. But in terms of, like, casual gamers, you know, the first thing that happened when Treyarch announced FOV coming in here was, I did a tweet about that, and there was a large portion of people that was asking, what is FOV and what does FOV even mean?
Wow.
Right? Because Call of Duty does have a very casual audience in that regard too. And so I started getting those questions, and I quickly clarified, like, FOV means FOV slider, the field of view slider, how much you see on your screen. It's something PC has had forever, and now consoles are getting it. To be honest, I didn't expect Treyarch to actually do it. I know Vaughn and them have talked about it in the past and at events we've been at, but I've never really saw them doing it for, you know, the general public to experience. When I played, I tried it out first on PS4 Pro with 120 FOV set, the max value, just to see what it was like. You know, mm-hmm. One thing you notice very quickly is how much faster you feel like you're moving in the environment. And as a console player, you know, I don't play on PC, so that was weird to adapt to quickly. But I brought it down to about 105. Then on Sunday, I did 110. I think 110 is the best place that I found that worked for me. But I think every single player needs to sort of learn their own, how they feel with the FOV on there and what they want. I mean, I'm sure there'll be some players that keep it at the standard value because they play on bigger TVs or smaller screens and stuff.
Well, but because they just don't know they exist.
Yeah, that too. That too. I just, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, like if you have crossplay disabled, it doesn't really matter, right? I mean, what your FOV is because it's still PS4 experience or Xbox experience. But if you're playing crossplay, you know, definitely have to look into it. But I think more importantly is that now that Black Ops Cold War has it, does Warzone get it, right? Do they bring that to the Black Ops Cold War Warzone experience? If not, you're going to have people, you know, playing 110 FOV on consoles in, you know, Black Ops Cold War MP. Then they go to Warzone, they have to go back to 80. That might become problematic for some players. Yeah. So I think that's something that's...
I never thought about that. That's going to be a big one. It really should come to Warzone because it was needed in Warzone more than anything else because the gulag and how important it was to see on your sides. Like in 6v6, if you miss somebody, you'll respawn. In Warzone, not so much.
Where do you stand on... I just totally forgot my point was. The field of view, not field of view. What was the one about Warzone? Sorry, the engine, that was it. So that's what I was getting to. Where do you stand on what's going to happen with Warzone? Do you think that, you know, there's from what Keshav said in previous episodes of this podcast, that it's looking like we'll continue with the same engine for Warzone for now. And we don't know when it's going to switch over to potentially the Black Ops engine or the Treyarch engine, whatever it's called. So where do you stand on that? Do you think it should shift over straight away? Because it's going to be weird playing. You're going to go from basically between two different games. I don't know.
I'm going to say it should not shift for technical reasons. My understanding is that the new engine that Infinity Ward made with their very efficient rendering is the only reason that Warzone runs that it does at the scale that it does. If you compare Warzone to Blackout, I think Blackout has a lot of amazing things about gameplay that Warzone doesn't. But the map is smaller, and especially in the beginning, it was way rougher looking. And even now, when it's much more polished, it doesn't really compare to how good and how big the Warzone map is and how it looks. And it's impressive that they built something that massive that runs at 60 FPS on consoles compared to like PUBG or these other VR games. So just for that reason of technical stability and frame rate and performance, I think it would be smarter to stay with the current IW or Warzone engine and mod on top of that. And what I really hope is that they have their own maps. So we have two Warzone maps. We have Verdansk and whatever Treyarch has, and you can just kind of flop between the two. I kind of don't think it's going to be a good idea if there's like a big in-game event and Verdansk closes permanently and whatever Infinity Ward, not Infinity Ward, Treyarch has is the only thing we can play. I think that might be very spooky, especially if it has some sort of technical problem, which is very possible when you're launching early or not launching early, launching on time these days. Man, when a game comes out day one, that's early. Day one is like the beta test and, you know, it really shapes up about 2 weeks later.
Yeah. I don't even.
Well, I'm just gonna add there too. Like, I mean, the engine thing is huge, right? Because we've, you know, talked about when we went to Infinity Ward last year. I know you were there. Like, they gave us a whole 2 hour in depth on the engine. Mm-hmm. And this year with Treyarch, they didn't mention it once until they were provoked or asked a question during one of our sessions. Like, they didn't even bring it up about the engine stuff. So I just at launch, it's just gonna be weird, right? If they keep the same engine, I think that's fine too, because obviously Warzone works. And surprisingly, Warzone's performance on PS4, Xbox is quite good compared to Blackout. Mm-hmm. So if they keep that engine, I think that's fine. But obviously, players are going to have a weird experience going from multiplayer to Warzone if there's someone who plays both a lot. And I don't know how many players, you know, go to both, but those who do will have to get used to, you know, the Treyarch movement and then back to Warzone, that own movement. But yep. I think the bigger question too with Warzone when you get into this holiday season is, especially even with crossplay disabled, right? How does PS5 and PS4 players play together in a way that makes sense? Just because PS5 will have 120 frames per second, PS4 will be 60 frames per second. Like, does that cause people to have problems on social media because of, you know, the disadvantage if you have the older console, the newer console, right? We've already seen the PC audience or the console audience complain about PC gamers. Mm-hmm. What happens when it's all console, right? What happens when PS5, Xbox Series X, those players are playing against PS4, Xbox One players? How does that experience differentiate? I think that's something that I'm looking forward to sort of seeing what they say, because 120 FPS versus 60 FPS is going to be a big massive difference. Change.
I think you're going to see exactly the same conversations you had this year. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was going to mention, I am expecting PlayStation 5 to outperform my PC. And I'm kind of, right now I'm trying to plan if I either want to stream from PlayStation 5, mouse and keyboard, or if I'm going to build a dual PC. So I play Warzone on a single PC. I'm a single PC peasant streamer that doesn't have three or four rigs audio splitters stacked up. So what that means is I am playing the game in 1440, I'm recording the game in 1440, and I'm streaming the game in 1080 all on one card. So 60 FPS is my limit with all that going on. It doesn't get any better. Recently, with the updates, it's actually started dipping down to about 55 FPS. I don't know why. It's very frustrating. But I was thinking, to play Warzone in high frame rate right now, what I have to do is build a second PC to stream with. And I'm kind of right there. I'm kind of ready to just give up and do it. But then I thought, well, the PlayStation 5 and Xbox One Series X, whatever Microsoft has named it, the refrigerator one, those are going to run 1440p, 120 hertz, 4K 60, a lot of higher frame rates, a lot of higher resolutions. Some of them will do 1440p, 144. And I thought, for all the trouble, instead of building a dual PC, I could just plug in a PlayStation 5 and, you know, it takes regular keyboard and mice. And it probably wouldn't be very different, and it might be cheaper. I don't know. It's a thought. And I think that's almost the scary one.
I'm very surprised that you don't have a dual PC setup. I would have bet my life on it.
The couple of reasons that I don't. Number one is that it's expensive and I hate spending money. I'm Scrooge McDuck. I'm a little miser.
You've got like a computer from like the 90s behind you.
Oh yeah. Yeah. This is my dual PC setup over here. Now that's the terminal from the Easter eggs. And I had problems in my house when I plugged up all the lights and all the computers and all the stuff in my stream room, it'd blow the circuit breaker. So I'm trying to avoid that, because to build the dual PC, I'll probably need to get another breaker put in or something. But eventually that may come. But the point is that the new consoles could potentially outperform PCs, at least for a short period of time. I know PCs will rapidly like take over. And that gap between PlayStation, like regular old, like launch day PS4 to PlayStation 5 is going to be a bigger gap than console to PC now. So I think that you're going to see a lot of people complaining. Like the old PS4 is probably going to run a dynamic resolution that goes from 720 to 1080, depending on load, and 60 FPS. And you're going to have like a certain draw distance and blur and all this stuff going on. And the PlayStation 5 is going to run, I don't know, 4K 60, 2K 120, something like that. And it's going to have better draw distance, less smoothing, better anti-aliasing. So you're going to see a really big difference, in my opinion.
Yeah. And there's ray tracing as well, right? How the ray tracing stuff's coming to life. And
I think campaign only for ray tracing? No?
All they're saying about next gen is 4K 120 hertz. So I'm just like, what is 100? That's the one thing that I also noticed, right? They say 120 hertz. They're not saying FPS. So it's like, what is the actual final FPS value? They're locking in the different platforms. You know, they say 60 FPS for the current gen, but next gen, are they going to like not lock it in, let it be dynamic like PC, so that, you know, how the game plays per your monitor, it'll change? Or locking in?
I imagine it'll be locking in, because especially with the console crowd, they'll need to have TVs that support that, which is another big one. The majority of HD TVs today are 60 hertz, and there's a few fancier ones that are 120. And what I'm kind of worried is what's going to happen is people are going to buy these and they're going to have this 120 hertz sports mode, which is like a simulated like super sampling. And when you do that with the console, you're going to get a 60 FPS output, and then it's going to try to super sample it and do like really weird things. I think that's going to be problematic.
Yeah, especially like the you know, when a lot of console gamers are so casual, they don't even understand what's happening. And then they'll start complaining about the game performance being off, and it's just their own equipment, not the actual game that's messed up there.
I think you're underselling them a bit.
Huge TVs, you know what I mean? The amount of people you speak to and they're like, oh yeah, I'm really into Warzone. I'm like, oh yeah, what do you play on? They're like, 55-inch TV. I'm like, I mean, fair enough, but I mean, you're literally putting yourself at a disadvantage by doing that.
Is it the delay?
Yeah, the delay is insane. Like people just, these casual gamers just don't realize, they think actually the bigger it is better. When I see someone that's like playing like a game at a cinema or something, I'm like, that looks awful. It's going to be really laggy. Like the input today is going to be horrendous. So I think what you're saying is right though, Keshav. how many people are actually going to notice outside of like this community where, yeah, fair enough, there's probably like a few hundred thousand people that are pretty vocal, but think of the 50 million people who are playing Warzone. How many of them are actually going to notice the difference? The console players anyway, the PC players are a bit more savvy, but how many of those console players are actually going to notice a difference and actually going to notice that they're getting killed more by PS5 players than they would have? You know, I don't know if that's really going to match up.
I think they're going to notice. I think you're underselling console gamers a little bit. We've all kind of been dismissive of them today, myself included. But console gamers, they're not idiots. They don't have heads full of rocks. There's, you know, most of them know about frame rate, resolution, performance. Because even on this generation of consoles, when this generation of consoles launched 8,000 years ago in the Jurassic era, before the internet existed, people were arguing about frame rates because games came out and they were like, oh, there was like this werewolf like adventure game. And Sony was like, well, it runs in a cinematic 24 FPS. And all the console gamers were up in arms, so mad. Like, you think we're so stupid. We think we're not even going to get 30 FPS. What is this? PlayStation 4 is all powerful, but it runs 24 FPS. That was an argument 8 years ago. And the average gamer has only gotten more sophisticated since then. And console gamers have had options like in Doom and Doom Eternal to play with frame rate and crank it up and do weird things. And you're right that probably the... maybe not a majority, but a plurality of them don't really play with these options. And there's probably a little like potato crowd that plays very, very casually, like soccer mom 42 and, you know, Buffalo fan 29, that the people you kill in Fortnite. But then there's a pretty big chunk of console gamers. I would guess 25 to 30% of them that are just as savvy as PC gamers, and they know exactly what they want. And I think most of the complaints you're going to hear is out of that soccer kid 49 crowd that just kind of doesn't really know what's going on at all.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good point, because like with the PS5 especially and the new Xbox, right, the pre-orders sold out instantly. So those are people who are dedicated gamers who are going to notice things. So I think, you know, it'll take a couple of years, just like how the PS4 did, before we have that sort of casual console audience again. But yeah, you know, I'm sure they're going to notice, but it's just, you know, how much of it do they notice? And like, is it their equipment or is it the actual game, and how, you know, Treyarch can adapt to it, because their engine is, can their engine handle 120 frames per second, right? On PS4 Pro, we're already experiencing some frame rate drops. You know, PS4 Slim is, I haven't tried a PS4 Slim. I haven't seen gameplay off of it yet, or the original, you know, fat Xbox One. I don't know how that gameplay looks, but, you know, compared to PS5 or when they're playing against an Xbox Series X person, it's going to feel like you're playing against a PC player when you get absolutely wrecked on Warzone or something like that. You know, you'll see the kill cam and you'll be like, why do they have so much field of view, or why are they moving much faster than I am?
It's like, still render from your field of view from their kill cam.
Your own field of view?
Yeah, the kill cam won't show their field of view, because all the kill cam does is the game caches a little bit of data and it plays back some kind of representative like player movements, probably half the total snapshots. And it just renders it from your point of view in the engine. Like, it's not like a YouTube video that records all the stuff they're seeing.
Yeah.
So do you think there'll be people complaining about
kickoff, isn't it?
Hmm? Yeah, yeah. Well, no, I was just going to add there. Do you think people are going to complain about hackers then? Like on the OG consoles? Like,
absolutely. The people are going to complain about anything, man. That's human nature. I'm a YouTuber. Complaining is in my DNA.
You're born into it.
Yeah. There's definitely going to be people complaining. I don't. The question is how many.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, what can Sony do though? They can't. You know, they're going to make as consoles as fast as they can. So, I mean, what are they supposed to do? You could potentially have like, you know, you could potentially have turn off crossplay, and crossplay could include PS5. I'm not sure how they'll do it, but it's very possible.
You have cross gen as an option. Cross gen and cross gen crossplay. So
it's going to get a bit confusing. Do you think that, how many people do you think, like, how do we even know how many PS5s are getting released? Have they released a figure at all?
Not that I'm aware of.
I'd be really interested to know how many people, like, that day a PS5 comes out, how many people just launching their PS4 out the window? Like, what's the transition over, you know?
It's been a weird year, you know, with pandemics and uncertainty and job loss, and that's not going to stop anytime soon. I've been sitting here at home wondering how many people have the money to buy new consoles, apparently enough to sell out. But then you also have to ask, okay, did they also sell out because supply lines from Asia have been utterly smashed? I'm sure you guys have experienced this trying to get gaming accessories. I've had problems getting appliances and like construction supply, all sorts of random things. Anything made in Asia is just all messed up. So did they sell out because we're all stuck at home and demand for a new console is incredibly high? Or did they sell out because there was only like 10% of what they wanted to have in stock? And then if they get more stock, how many people even have the money to buy that? Because money's not doing so great right now for a lot of people in a lot of industries. We're fortunate, okay? The industry that we're in is digital entertainment that we create free or cheap for the most part. And it is the most premium thing on the marketing right now for advertising. Everybody wants more streams and more YouTube videos and that kind of stuff, but not everybody's fortunate enough to be on that boat. Are people going to have the money to say, okay, my digital entertainment's very premium, I'm gonna go ahead and pony up and get the new console? Or, yeah, it's premium, but I'm pretty broke, I'm gonna stick with PlayStation 4 because I have no money. And I really don't know, because we don't know how many are sold, we don't know how many are available, we don't know anything. And it's really up in the air for me as a content creator, because I try to keep track of trends. I couldn't tell you. Do you guys have any insight into this?
No, I haven't seen anything that suggests like how many they actually sold. I think one report from Bloomberg said that they're going to make 11 million PS5s by April of next year. So that's quite a while away. So I don't know how many, you know, they have this year. Microsoft has been silent on sales. And the one thing Microsoft did say is that they're going to have more in stock in time for, you know, Black Friday or holiday shopping. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, with their Series S being cheaper, I see that being like a hot item. Because it's $299 and, you know, a lot of parents can see $299 to get on next gen as a good deal versus paying $500 for a console. And I think the other rumor I saw was the PS5 digital edition is barely in stock and they barely produce those. So, you know, PS5 is basically $499 because the digital edition can't be found anymore. So
that stinks. Yeah. Well, then you've got NVIDIA's cards. NVIDIA dropped the whole 3000 series. I think did the 3070 come out yet? 3070, 80, and 90 RTX. And those are basically in and out of stock like crazy, mostly out. Those are selling out. And that's another high ticket item. Yeah, a bunch of godless barbarians.
Well, here's a bit of quick trivia and no Googling. How many PS4 consoles were sold?
Total?
Yeah.
I thought it was like 40, 50 million.
Isn't it over 100? Isn't it like over 100 million, 105 million?
I was thinking that, but that seemed like too much. Oh,
102 million.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of consoles. That's interesting you bring that up, because like that means that these big third-party publishers are going to support PS4 for years to come. That's a massive audience of people that's just like abandoned. So you're going to see these games come on that original PS4 box for quite a while.
Which is a shame, because Xbox is making a really nice console this year. Like, I don't think that the Xbox One competed with the PS4 very well until the X. The Xbox One X was pretty nice. But this year, it seems like Microsoft is coming out with a much better offering. And they're selling their, if I'm not mistaken, hopefully I don't say something dumb and embarrassing on the podcast. There is like an Xbox One payment plan where you can sign up for Game Pass and you get the console and the Game Pass and EA Play and all this, just like a whole bunch of stuff, like cable channels and Netflix and just tons of crazy stuff for like $35 a month. So you pay $35 and your console and your all your subscriptions just show up at your house. It's like a rental service. And I think that's super duper smart, especially this year, because people, you know, with Corona or whatever, they might not have $600 for a console and then the accessories, but they definitely got $35 a month.
Yeah,
you know, you can cancel HBO and get that. I know that's what it was. I think it came with HBO, if I'm not mistaken. It was some entertainment service it came with. No, you're shaking your head. No, I have no idea.
No, I don't know.
I saw that tweet from Xbox, like Xbox All Access or something. It includes like console, the service, everything. Yeah, I'm surprised Sony didn't counter it, right? Sony has no counter for it right now. It's just Xbox doing their thing. But like we saw the cell phone industry go that trend, right? Monthly plans, payment options. And so it's good to see Xbox doing that, I think. I saw a lot of people on the pre-order day share like their receipts, whatever, their small receipts, and it said the all-access payment plan. So I guess it is working for them.
That was very smart. Sony doesn't have to, though. Sony is the dominant player in the console market. Actually, maybe debatably Nintendo, but that's sort of, they have a different sub-market for the most part. Sony's the big boy. They killed it with the PS4 and PS4 Pro. They avoided cross-play with Fortnite forever because of that. Like, Sony has massive negotiating power, and right now they don't have to play nice. They don't have to make a super like economic offering, all they have to do is make the good offering, like the fancy one. They're kind of the premium one this year.
If you think about it though, it's actually pretty impressive that the PS4 and the PS4 Pro have done so well when it has one of the worst UX systems in the history of anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I cannot believe how long it takes to cycle through to a party and add people to a party and go back to a game. It's I honestly, it blows my mind every time I use it. And I can only hope that the PS5, I don't care about anything else, just a fluid menu system would be perfect. That's all I'm asking
Discord.
For.
Use Discord. I've abandoned all game chat and I use Discord only because game chat's gotten too hard to deal with, just like you said. But imagine this is another time. Okay, so Discord, to the best of my knowledge, wants to put their app on PlayStation and Xbox. I think it can be, but it's like just like the chat version of it, right? Not the voice. But imagine if you could run Discord on your PlayStation 5 or Xbox One Series X and all your friends from any system or whatever can just pop in Discord. You just, you know, you hit the guide button, bring it up, do it in the tab, and then go back and use their VoIP. That'd be amazing. I'd love that. I would love to see Discord on both of the next generation of consoles. And Discord would love to be there too. Mm-hmm. But both Microsoft and Sony, for whatever reasons of corporate pride, have a very strong belief in the amazingness of their own VoIP systems, and they don't want any competitors or it's but weird.
You say that they also never wanted crossplay, and now it's almost standard. So, you know, I think it can be forced through somewhat, you know, as long as there's an innovation from someone like a Fortnite, you know, that's what drove crossplay at the end of the day. So,
well, I just think that's crazy that you say that real quick, just to add on to that Fortnite crossplay, right? Like Sony was the dominant person in this market and they still got forced into making crossplay a reality, right? Like they didn't have to give anything to anybody, but because of how vocal that Fortnite community was, Sony had to give in. And now here we are where crossplay is coming to almost every single game, which is crazy that, you know, 10 years ago, you would be like crazy to even think crossplay would happen in consoles. So that's pretty...
Years ago, they had it in Microsoft made one for Xbox 360, this like FPS game where you played elves and orcs, Shadow something.
Shadow Realm.
Yeah, Shadow Realm. You could play PC and Xbox, but it was really busted, man, because to keep PC players from like 360ing people really quick, they limited how fast you could scroll. So to like turn, you would like constantly keep scrolling and... Oh man, it was a weird one, but now it's all just standard. Man, a game comes out that doesn't have crossplay, you look at the developers and be like, guys, did you even try? Like for real? Like, did you?
Yeah.
Do you care? Yeah. Among Us is a game that could run on Newgrounds if that was still a website, and it's crossplay.
Yeah. You can get it on your phone, can't you? Although, to be honest, I've not really played it. Doesn't really tickle my fancy, to be honest. But well, look, let's get back to Call of Duty. So. Okay. Really, so your initial feedback when I watched your video, Drifter, was, and to be fair, I only watched, I think, the first two thirds, and you were kind of talking predominantly about the lag issues and connection, etc. So I'm really interested to hear your thoughts on the game in general. You know, how you think it is, what you think of it as a progression from Modern Warfare and all the previous titles, how it compares to the previous Black Ops games. I really want to know your thoughts on the physical gameplay and everything, because for me personally, I wasn't overly impressed.
I think that it's more of a throwback to older Treyarch games. It reminds me a little bit more of Black Ops 1 than anything else. Some of that may be the color scheme and the fact that it's closer to those decades, but some overlap even in the story. But I think gameplay-wise, it's similar to that. It's a little bit slower than Modern Warfare. Modern Warfare, you would die quickly, and the mantling, you didn't really run like super fast, but the mantling aspect of it made it seem a little bit faster, more parkoury. There's not as much of that in Black Ops Cold War, maybe minus the zip lines, which are a great, great feature in my opinion. So it's kind of it's oddly a slower Call of Duty game where you, at least before the beta, couldn't move around insanely fast. And now you've got the duster stock where you just slide forever. And you've got a longer time to kill. So it really reminds me of Black Ops 1, and I don't mind that. In my opinion, that's a little bit more cartoony and less realistic because Modern Warfare was a game about getting picks. You point your gun at somebody for a couple of frames and they're toast. It doesn't really matter what the gun is. Some people love that. This is going to be a game, I think, that, like when you see it in the pro scene, is going to play more like Black Ops 2 with these long trades, and you can actually just like watch the shots go back and forth and the health bars go up and down. And you'll get a good idea of who's going to win a fight like halfway in instead of like, oh my God, I made it, just because it happens so fast. I think that the base gameplay for the game is really good. I like what they've done with the weapon design and balance. I like the stats. I like the headshot multipliers. I like what they've mostly done with their health bars and tuning. And the streaks are good. The streak system is a little bit odd. I think that they've made a really good game, and I imagine that it plays super well on LAN, because it did play well in the super early alpha, like the YouTuber reveal one, and the regular alpha, it played well. But something has gone wrong with the connections that kind of obscures that really good game, and it kind of gets lost somewhere in the nonsense. And I think that Treyarch is trying really hard not to make a boring game, because one of the problems about going back to the 80s or back into the past is you have less technology and less gadgets and less, like, fun things to do.
Yeah.
So to compensate, what they probably did was added in some like neat gameplay ideas, like the assassin perk that lets you see who's on a streak, or the flashlight that scans people. What was another really, the duster stocks, you can slide faster. So they're at, or what, there's a specialist ability, the poison gas grenade, that I find super annoying. There's a lot of things that they're trying to add to make it a little bit more hype, but ultimately end up being a little bit more weird, in my opinion. And that's kind of what I think about the game. I guess I'm out of opinion, perhaps. I would say I enjoyed the game quite a bit, minus the connection issues that showed up in beta. And there's some goofy stuff that I don't know why they're putting it. Very casual friendly, I assume.
Yeah, definitely casual friendly. I found the mantling to be weird in it, because it was like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to get over this wall, and then suddenly you're over it. It just seemed like every wall was 9 foot tall, but you could still jump over it somehow. Whereas in Warzone, mm-hmm. I can't get over a fucking rock that's 1 meter high.
Did you leave auto mantle on, or did you turn it off?
I didn't change any of those settings.
So. Oh, Lord. If you leave auto mantle on, sometimes you can walk backwards or sideways and hit an object, and it'll just like take you over it.
Oh, wow.
It's really weird.
I didn't notice that, actually.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be Charlie Intel podcast unless you mentioned skill-based matchmaking.
Yay!
No, we were talking before the show started that you actually had a whole series in the past. I'm not trying to bag on you here, but I'm just, just explaining what you said.
Come on, give it to me. I'm a big boy. I can take it. Lay it on thick. Come on.
You had a whole series about how skill-based matchmaking didn't exist. And mm-hmm. the developers have come out since and said, actually, it's existed since Black Ops 2. So were you a little bit confused when that announcement was made? And, you know, what you were saying to us before, basically?
Okay, so I wasn't shocked by that announcement, because Ace and I had managed to prove skill-based matchmaking almost a year ago now in regular Modern Warfare. The reason in the past that I did not believe it was real was because there was no science, no data that could prove that it was real. Basically, what you had in the community was people that would reverse boost and go all the way down to the potato lobbies, and they would show a potato lobby and be like, evidence done, science done. All of my beliefs about skill-based matchmaking, which was a whole variety of weird stuff, are now real. And I sat down and I did two or three different studies that would probably be something more like a sophomore or senior level college paper kind of research. I did have like a master's student do some really intense research to look for skill-based matchmaking. I talked to the developers about it in person, and I'm not naming names, but some of them told me some things that were not true. So trustworthy people told me skill-based matchmaking, not real. My data has nothing conclusive. So the only logical thing to do is to say that it's probably not real, or if it's real, it's so weak that we can't test for it. The community had a radically different experience than that. And they let me know just how stupid and dumb and wrong I am. And I still don't think that I am, because I know a lot of people that have had great experiences with those magnetic bracelets that rebalance their ions that, you know, cure their shoulder pain or whatever. And I also know people that have seen UFOs and tell me that their personal testimony is evidence that they exist. I try not to make decisions like that. So I worked super hard with Ace. We busted our humps. Each one of us probably put in a solid week. And I mean, like a 40-hour real big boy work week, doing nothing but math and testing on skill-based matchmaking. And we finally found evidence, real scientific evidence, that it exists, that there is something happening there.
Yeah.
And because I was able to find real evidence that it exists, my opinion changed. Now, unfortunately, as you all know, I am basically the living embodiment of the smushed head meme because I have a very low IQ. And instead of just believing everything that people tell me on Twitter, I waited for the science. So that's my bad on that one. I wasn't shocked to see it from developers because I think that the videos that Ace and I did this year kind of really blew the lid off that one. And there's really no hiding that skill matching is in the game. There's not really a controversy anymore after those videos went out. Yeah. So the developers can't sit there and pretend like it's not real because there's actually really good evidence that it's real. And it's a study that you can replicate and do yourself. Like you probably could have, we don't have the API for the beta, but you could go home and do it yourself if you had a lot of spare time. And I had some fans that did. So them saying stuff about skill-based matchmaking is a natural progression of knowledge. Now, the question is how they deal with it, because this is a firebrand issue. This is an issue that plays against everybody's fundamental human psychology, because guys, let's be honest, we're all the best Call of Duty players. I know that I could have gone pro. I know that you could have, and you could have. We are some of the best. Yeah. So
I definitely didn't bomb when I played it.
Yeah. Anybody that's as good as me has to be like the God tier. They have to be at the pro level. So if I'm dying to somebody, they obviously have to be pros, right? And if I'm dying a lot, then that probably means that the game hates me and it's making me only play scump and TP or clones or illegitimate children that you don't see on Twitter. They've got their own little army out there. And it's sort of almost a conspiracy theory in a way that anytime you do bad, you can blame it on skill matching. And yeah, sometimes skill matching can definitely make you play bad because you're playing against good people. But on the flip side, you don't have a rank, like you don't have a numerical rank. You don't have an elo or a score. So you don't really know where you're at on a scale. You don't really know if you're good or bad. You just know that everybody's as good as you all the time. So that makes you feel really kind of weird, perhaps inadequate, that you're never really better than anybody. Yeah. And it just kind of breaks your psychology because then, well, obviously, if I got random matches, I'd play better, right? I'm sure if you guys got random matches, you'd play better. The answer is not always, because if your matches were random, sometimes you really would match up against Teep and Skump and these kind of people, and you would get smashed. You would have some easy games, but you would also have some absurdly hard games. And I think that one of the reasons that they put in skill-based matchmaking to begin with is when you have the game and you smash bad kids, that's great. It feels good for you. They don't really want to play anymore. It's just like when you join the lobby and you know that these people in these lobby are way better than you, that it's like hopeless that you see them like doing these like twitchy, cracked out gun swaps, shoot, throw the grenade, bounce around the corner kind of stuff. Yeah. I bet a lot of times you guys have quit out of the lobby and you just decided to screw this. I don't want to play. Maybe not even more today because you've been reminded how bad you really are. And the developers say, well, that Fs up our playtime, that lowers the monthly active users. We need to find some sort of system to kind of smooth this out to keep everybody playing about the same amount, because that's what I assume Activision would want for to go and get on a call and be like, yes, we have so many active players on this game. Come buy our stocks. And I assume that's what they're trying to do with skill-based matchmaking. And it's really bad because people believe that reverse boosting will fix it. And sometimes it will, but it also ruins other people's games. There are people that believe that as a fundamental right, you should have the ability to play random opponents. And it ultimately is the developer's choice because they're building the game, right? There are other people, and I think rightfully, that believe you should have a very casual list and a ranked playlist. That makes so much sense. I don't know why it's not been done yet. There's just so much in that topic to unbox. Developers having their opinions on it, not just in Call of Duty, but other developers talk about it too. Does skill-based matchmaking affect ping? And that's more of a mathematical problem, and that also doesn't work well. So I've done this in the past. I don't think that skill matching really affects ping that much because to the best of my knowledge, which is not always perfect, it picks you a good pool of players that have like an acceptable ping range and then does the skill matching. So having a really high skill shouldn't really shrink that pool of players to an amount that it would scale your ping enough to notice. But we don't really know what it's doing. All of this, everything that happens is behind a layer of obscurity. The code strings, because they started showing up in AW, thanks to the Doom Clan, they were digging them out, don't even show up in the game very much anymore. They're all on Demonware's end. So you can't even pick your game apart to see what skill-based matchmaking does. To really understand what it's doing, you have to do, what's it called? It's basically like a multivariable analysis type study. And you have to get like 20 different variables and isolate them and find their proper weights and look for patterns. And you just have to pull like ridiculous amounts of bulk data to do this. And it's really hard. We don't know. We found that it sometimes considers accuracy. Sometimes it considers KDR. Sometimes it considers win loss. Your rank and level as well has a factor, but we don't know how much of each one. So there's no guaranteed path to getting an easy lobby. So people are doing all sorts of random stuff that's destructive to the health of the game. I'm rambling at this point. I'm going to stop.
Kesh, have any thoughts on that?
On your point about the developers and what they say, right? In the Warzone event we had back in February at Affinity Ward, mm-hmm. I'm not going to name any names either, but one of the devs was asked specifically about skill-based matchmaking in Warzone, in Ground War, and he specifically said there is no skill matchmaking in larger player count modes. And obviously testing now in Warzone has proven that's not fully accurate. Like, there is some level of it in the game. So it is interesting how the devs just try to, you know, dodge the questions even in person. It's not like over, you know, an email or a phone call, they don't want to talk about it, it's recorded, whatever. But even in person, they dodge that answer, which is, you know, just showing like how much maybe Activision controls their decisions, or maybe how much they just don't want to talk about matchmaking just because
how much they don't know
the system. Yeah,
that's what I was about to say, how much they don't know. Because I get the impression that Demonware and Activision do a lot of matchmaking stuff. And any conversations that I've had about what changes they have usually involve a developer telling me, well, we called into Demonware and we told them we wanted blah, 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 blah. And I would hear that and I would say, so you didn't really like develop the matchmaking on your own? I was like, well, no, that doesn't. Matchmaking is an extremely precise science. You probably just wouldn't fool with that. You'd let Demonware do it. So I don't think they fully control it. I really don't think they do. Yeah, I don't think Vaughn has a little switch that he can just flip on and off to change the skill matching.
Yeah, it goes back to that Condrey tweet, right? That Michael Condrey tweet that came back, that he said that ask Activision, it's all central tech, all them, we control nothing. And it's like, it's a bit worrisome because all the hate goes to the developers when they have no say in it. They have absolutely nothing in there. But to add to you one more point, do you think them showing us an MMR rank or just our ELO rank, could that help people understand skill-based matchmaking?
Oh yeah, even if you have to go to the menu and look it up, even if it's not next to your name, that could help. It's a logical thing, like, okay, so another Activision game, Overwatch. You play Overwatch, ranked is really the bread and butter of the game. You get your rank, and then you want to do casuals or warm-up or practice. It still matches you kind of like close to your rank, so you're still playing a game that's fair. But even in casual mode, you can see people's ranks. You could see a similar thing in Black Ops 2. You could see their... what do they call it? League play ranks in the lobby. Like, you could see their league play ranks when they joined your lobby. So you kind of had an idea of who you were facing. And that, to me as a gamer, is helpful. So like, if I'm wanting to level up akimbo pistols for some stupid reason, that's not a good strategy, but it's fun sometimes. And I look and I'm like, silver, gold, diamond, gold. I'm like, well, these people are probably not going to let me run around with pistols on them. Versus if I were to do the same thing and I look and it's like silver, bronze, silver, gold. I'm like, I might can work with this. I might can get my pistols going. It gives me some information. It lets me know who the badass is on the enemy team. And that's a nice thing. Like, if you have a high rank and you show up in the lobby and everybody's like, ooh, F you, your challenger rank is fake. I bet you cheated for it. And then you smash them. That's so satisfying.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
Let's just quickly go into Warzone news. So there isn't a huge amount. We know that for PC, there is going to be a new update that allows people to, like you can on PS4 and Xbox, you can uninstall sections of the game if you haven't got enough space. So for example, I do not have co-op installed or campaign because that would be a waste of space. But on PC, for some reason, that wasn't an option until now. Although how much do PC players really have storage issues?
Some. It's 250 gigs now, which if you have a terabyte drive, that's a quarter of your drive plus.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. So that can be kind of excessive. I've got I bought a bunch of cheap like 500 gig drives and put them in. And what'll happen is like the ones with the I have one drive that's just my games, and Modern Warfare is over half of my games drive just in and of itself. So that's spooky to me. And there are people, I think it was maybe Frothy Omen on Twitter. There were some people, some content creators that had little 200 gigabyte drives. And what they would do is they would kind of install their games on it, like three or four games on a little cheap drive. And now they're like, oh, I can't install one game on this drive. So that is a problem. And it's been bigger on PlayStation as well. It's outrageous how big the files are. I've had to like clean out some of my video backlog to make space for Modern Warfare to be installed on my solid state drive. So
yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Maybe it is too big then. Definitely is big, too big for console anyway. I just, for some reason in my head, I just assume every PC game has got like this insane setup with like 30 terabytes of space. And
some do. I have 2 total terabytes is all.
Well, there you go. Better than the 500 you get in a PS4 or whatever it is. And yeah, I've also experienced an annoying bug this week in Warzone. So this new feature where you can have music when you're in the car. And then when you get out the car, you still hear it. And it's really not very helpful. I mean, the audio in Warzone is already dubious at times. And then to have some crazy music playing over the top, which is somehow the loudest thing in the world, it really does make it difficult. But hopefully we'll see a fix for that soon as well. I don't know if you guys have got any Warzone tidbits, and what's your current meta at the moment? What are you using, Drifter?
I'm always playing around trying to find something to break the meta, but if I want to play for reals, I'm probably going to run an M13. Yeah. I run mine with fully loaded, so I just rip it right out of the box, good to go on ammo and everything. Yeah. It's not the fastest time to kill, but it's incredibly easy to use, and that ease of use has been really nice. For a secondary, it's going to be MP5 or maybe katanas, depending on how spicy I'm feeling. But that usually gets me through most of my fights. I don't really need a whole lot else.
Are you still an advocate of the crossbow? Because I know you did a video where you said the crossbow.
Still have my crossbow class.
The future.
It could be, guys. Okay, so you're joking because the crossbow. Oh, like Drifter doesn't know what he's talking about. A crossbow. What are you gonna hit? Okay, the crossbow is the only weapon that can hit somebody and send them straight to the gulag. They don't get downed. They don't get revived. You pop them and then they poof. Now, to do this, you have to get a headshot or they have to be a little bit weak. Because what will happen is you shoot them and anywhere you hit them, you get the guaranteed down because it'll blow up. But if they're weak or you headshot them, you'll hit them and down them and then it'll blow up and kill them and they're done. They're out. And getting a pick like that is an amazing way to start a gunfight. Like imagine you're playing with your squad and you hear a little... And all of a sudden, one of your dudes just blows up and can't even be revived. And you don't know why because you've never run into a crossbow. And you're like, what? And it's already 3v4. And I think that the crossbow is super fun. It's not really great against vehicles. You can counter snipe with it, kind of like maybe like in-game, like close range. You can spam it out there a little bit. It's basically everything about the crossbow is terrible except for the fact that it sends people straight to the gulag. Like that other team that you're like trading with across the fence or whatever, if you hit them with the crossbow, they're down a man, like permanently. There's no getting those easy reses. No, we'll sit on the roof. We don't need armor. Or my buddies will just res me when I get sniped. You're not doing any of that. So that's why I use it. Also because I'm a horrible little nasty troll and I just like tilting people. So...
I'm getting killed by a crossbow has to be the worst thing that happens in Warzone to you.
It hasn't happened to you guys yet?
No, I think I've once, but I think it was maybe like ground loot and it was like at the start of a game.
Okay. But
it's still pretty embarrassing.
Now, have you used the crossbow?
No. I mean, one of my friends always like is dead keen on the crossbow, but I personally I'm a terrible shot as it is, so I need all the bullets I can get at the end of the day. Kesha, have you a crossbow lover?
No, I don't use it. I see the clips and I know how trolly it can be. I don't use it. No. I've got killed by it, I think, once, and I didn't know what hit me. And then I saw the kill cam and I was like, okay, so now I know how to, if someone comes at me like that and I die that easily, it's a crossbow. So stay away if I see one of the crossbow in their hands. Run away. Run as fast as I can.
That should be intimidating. Like in Warzone, you see somebody running with a crossbow and you see like this crossbow kill feed for your team and you say, okay, this is either a lucky idiot or I'm playing a god.
Yeah. So quick question before we go on to our last segment. What area of the map do you want seen and gone, and what would you like it replaced with?
I don't like hospital and parts of promenade around it. Hospitals and promenade is very annoying because of the amount of two-story buildings that have stairs, dark corners, nearly impossible places to push. You can't everywhere you travel is below an elevated position. And you would think that I would hate downtown more. I kind of do hate downtown more. I don't like going there. But I understand its purpose is to add scale to the map and allow for sniper fights. And I realize why people kind of like downtown. But Hospital to Promenade is the most kind of annoying spot to me. I never land Hospital. It's a death trap. I try not to land Promenade. It's a death trap. I don't like end games there because it's always just pushing up into buildings and stuff. So I would wipe that and replace it with, what could we replace it with? Something. That's exactly what I was saying, like firing range, like some old Treyarch maps. Oh, that'd be so fun. Well, Vacant's already there, so Vacant can't go there. But if we're doing that, like if the map gets bombed or something and Treyarch stuff goes up, I'd put firing range there. No, since Hospital's the middle of the map, that's where you put, I'm potatoing, Rust. You put an oil refinery right there with the center spire being the one in Rust. And that's also where all the gold boxes are, the best loot in the game. And all around it is old, like derelict machinery and desert. And if you open those boxes, they only drop sniper rifles. And that's what it is.
I like it. All right. Well, let's go into our final segment. And it's not going to be a very long one. It's going to be our esports segment. So obviously, there's a lot of talk about a lot of different rosters, a lot of big organizations. But what the people really want to know is, will we see a return of the pink wall in Black Ops Cold War?
We've been talking about it, actually. We've been considering either that or Warzone. We get a pink wall squad together for Warzone.
Yeah.
Or if there's a ranked playlist, we can definitely do some streams of that, trying to get good. For the pink wall, I think I'm going to be the weakest link on that one because I'm probably the least pro gamer, the least competitive on that squad. So
Legion's been playing a lot, hasn't he?
Yeah, Legion's known as he's known as the funny man, but the reality is he's the sweaty man. Legion can be really good when Legion plays competitively. He can be really good when he wants to be. He has some skills on the sticks.
Yeah, no.
I would love to do Pink Wall. Pink Wall was the most fun thing because we just did a big parody of all the esports teams at the time, and my favorite thing about it was our fake pro team got sponsors in less than a week. Like, we showed up at the hotel and all these companies gave us stuff to give out, shirts, G Fuel, Astro stuff. Like, we had like $4,000 or $5,000 worth of merchandise mailed to the hotel room. And the reason they gave it to us is because they were so sick of dealing with esports teams that wouldn't promote anything or their like egos and attitudes that they just thought it was hilarious that we were taking the piss out of all of them.
I've done pink wall interviews at events before, quite a few. It's always a pleasure. It's always good to always, because you guys don't, the thing is, you guys don't take it like seriously, and that's
no, fair enough.
And I think that's what you kind of want sometimes. You need that kind of like comedy element. But yeah, all right, well, there you go. News that's coming back. Well, look, I think we're going to round it off. But it's been amazing. Thanks for coming on as our first guest to the Charlie Intel podcast.
Hey man, it's good to be here.
And look, you may not be the right person for the position, but anyone listening, we do still have positions open for Charlie Intel on Hitmarker. So if you head over to there, search for Charlie Intel Hitmarker jobs, and you'll be able to apply there. It might also be on Deserto as well. So I'm actually hiring on Deserto as well. Just throw it in there. So if you want to write on Charlie Intel, Deserto, or Fortnite Intel, please apply. Get your skill. You don't need full experience. We can train people up. We just need people who are keen and interested in Call of Duty and gaming news in general, so please apply. But yeah, look, Drifter, any final words before we end this?
Not really. I'm just looking forward, actually, I'm really looking forward to playing Zombies and also the Warzone elements of Black Ops Cold War. It's a month to launch and those are still big mysteries. I want to see what those are.
Yeah, Keshav, any final words?
Beta weekend 2 coming up. I'm excited to see how crossplay works. This will be our first sort of look at Xbox gameplay and PC at a broader scale. So excited to see what Treyarch's got for us this weekend. And, you know, 1 month to launch, there's still so much left to reveal. So, you know, final stretch to launch.
That's all for now. We'll be back with episode 6 next week. Thanks very much.